The Murthy Law Firm has been clarifying U.S. immigration laws and procedures for foreign nationals since 1994. We are happy to offer this free service. Please listen to copyright information and restrictions at the end of this recording.
Hi, welcome to the Murthy Podcast. This is Kevin Andrews, and I'm joined with Maggie Wagner. Today, we're going to be talking about visa applications. What if my work visa application gets stuck? What do I do? So let's say you have an approved H-1B or L-1 petition, some kind of work visa. You finally get your appointment scheduled at the consulate. You go to the interview, you do the Dropbox appointment, and for some reason, you don't get your visa. What's going on? What are the options there? So let's talk about that, Maggie.
Yeah, so just to get us started, the first thing we kind of want to talk about are what are the possible outcomes of a visa application at a U.S. consulate or embassy?
Yeah, definitely. So, not getting the visa is not the same every single time. What I tell my clients is that there are three possible outcomes, well, really four, one being approval. But the other three options are a denial, a delay, and a refusal. So a delay, I think, is a common one that people get, and they'll see when they get administrative processing or 221G is the language that you see within a visa delay for administrative processing. A visa refusal, sometimes you'll see a notation there under 214B, and this is where it's some kind of soft denial where the officer just is not convinced that the applicant is going to actually comply with the terms and conditions of the visa. And then denial is where there's a specific reason that the case is ineligible. It's probably the more rare of the three, but typically something like if there's like a misrepresentation by the applicant at the consulate, that would be a reason for denial. Or if the consulate came to be aware that there was some reason why the initial petition should have never been approved, that could be a basis for denial also. So the first step, I think, is figuring out, like, well, why exactly am I not getting my visa? Has it been denied for some really, important thing? Is it being refused because of something that happened at the interview? Or is it being just delayed because the officer feels the need to look at more information before deciding whether to give it or not?
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Could you actually talk a little bit more about what a visa denial means and what are some common reasons for it?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, denial is when it's a specific reason in the law that says that the reason for the case being denied. So, like I said, I think the most common one that comes up at an interview is when the officer asks a question and the officer interprets the answer to that question as a misrepresentation. And so sometimes a visa applicant who gets a denial of a visa, if they see an annotation that says 6C1. This is referring to a fraud hit under INA 212A 6C1. And so 6C1 is the shorthand for some kind of misrepresentation. So that's the most, I'd say one of the more common reasons for denial at the consulate. And so it's definitely something that, I think people should have a conversation with an attorney before they go to the interview unnecessarily putting themselves in that kind of situation.
Right, yeah, and just, telling the truth at visa interviews is always a good way to avoid that. Could you talk a little bit more about how a visa refusal under the, INA 214B can actually differ from a denial?
Yeah, definitely. So the refusal under 214B, I guess the biggest difference between a refusal and a denial is a refusal is you live to fight another day. So, hey, I'm not convinced that you qualify for this job or whatever it is. So you can reapply without any consequences would be the outcome of like a visa refusal. But if it's denied, now you have that fraud hit that carries with you next time you're going to be it'll be a deniable the next time. And so, the conversation of how to handle a case after denial usually involves maybe getting a waiver or trying to get the fraud hit removed, depending on the circumstance. But in a visa refusal, it's more like, oh, well, you just got to try again. Maybe you had a bad interview with that particular officer, so just try again. I would say, though, that 214B is less common. 214B refusal is much less common for H-1 and L-1 work visas because of this concept called dual intent. So typically when you're applying for a non-immigrant or a temporary visa, you have to show that you have strong ties to your home country and that you have no immigrant intent. And when applying for like a visitor visa or a student visa, the analysis for this is much higher. And if the officer is not convinced that this visitor applicant or student applicant doesn't really have strong ties to their home country, that's like where you typically see a 214B refusal based on immigrant intent. And they can just reapply with stronger evidence of their family and financial ties to home country.
Gotcha. Okay, well then I guess moving on to, you know, what happens when a visa is delayed, when you're issued, you know, one of those 221G slips for administrative processing. What happens when that happens?
So the delay for administrative processing, this is a lot like getting a request for evidence from USCIS. It's the administrative processing is for the way for the consular officer to check on things to make sure that the case is eligible for approval. And so how could this come up? Well, it could come up at the interview. It could be that the applicant's answers to the questions aren't satisfying the officer, or that maybe they interpret some body language from the applicant as being, you know, nervousness from the applicant as being suspicious and just want to check on things and reach out to USCIS for confirmation of the, you know, the client location or the job offer or that the work is still happening. Or it could just be triggered. Maybe that person at the interview did nothing wrong, and it was just that company was already subject to some kind of investigation from USCIS, and it's just already on the officer's radar to 214 to 221G that. So what could happen, you know, 221G can be kind of frustrating because you don't really know what's going on. Sometimes the officer says, give us, you know, this list of documents and we'll get back to you. And, you know, the applicant feels like, okay, well, there's something I can do to move this process along. But other times, the officer just says, okay, well, here's a 221G. There's nothing we're requesting from you. We're just going to look at some stuff and get back to you. And, you know, that can be kind of frustrating because it's like, well, I don't, how long is this going to take? How, you know, and there's no real processing time for these. It's just, you know, periodically following up with the officer to try and get the visa stamp. So that would be the two main ways to trigger, I think, a 221G is something happens at the interview or something's going on behind the scenes with the employer. Or the USCIS perceives something is going on behind the scenes with the employer that would trigger for this extra request for additional documents and information.
Gotcha. So we've talked about, you know, the possible outcomes when you go in for a visa interview. I want to ask, what should applicants do if their visa application is actually, you know, denied, refused, or delayed?
Yeah, great question. Well, I would say if there's any chance of a denial, and like I said, usually that has to do with some hard eligibility issue or some misrepresentation of a fact or something that happened in the person's immigration history, I would really like to talk to that person before the interview, you know, to prevent them from inadvertently doing or saying something that creates a consequence like a denial, because that's just a higher consequence thing. When it comes to refusals, though, so with a refusal, the easiest way to overcome that is stronger evidence of whatever it is that the reason is they're refusing. Like I said, strong ties to your home country for non-work visas, non-H&Ls is a common thing. But it is possible to get a refusal for an H or L under 214B, and it could be something related to whether that officer thinks you're actually going to comply with the terms and conditions of employment. It could be some question about the, you know, the work location or other conditions of employment that may have changed. So you would be able to reapply if there's a 214B refusal, and just overcoming whatever the reasons for refusal are, they should be articulated by the officer. And then with 221G, you know, the way to overcome this is provide what they ask for and hurry up and wait type of a thing. So again, if it's something that's triggered by the consular officer asking for documents from you, give those documents as quickly as possible. This can come up frequently when the work is client-based work at a at a third party location. So that could be the kind of thing that they ask for. But if it's 221G where they're just saying, we need to get back to you, all you can really do is periodically follow up with the consulate every couple of weeks to check on the status of their, you know, of their investigation to see if you're able to get the visa. There are consular attorneys that focus on, you know, consular issues at Murthy Law Firm. We have a Murthy affiliate that focuses on consular issues in India. So if you find yourself dealing with any of these problems in India, I would strongly recommend going to www.murthyindia.com to get some assistance from a consular attorney to help navigate that.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a great idea for somebody in this situation. But I know that there's a lot of misconceptions and possibly rumors surrounding what happens at, you know, visa interviews and about visa denials and refusals and delays. So I'm wondering, you know, what are some of those common misconceptions that people have?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of uncertainty surrounding the whole visa, you know, process. Partly is because it's sort of a national security mandate. I guess for other reasons, it's just has to do so much with service personnel having so much discretion on what to do and when to do it. So for an applicant, that can be kind of daunting. So I guess like the three main takeaways here would be, you know, 214B refusal, that's not the end of the road. That's something that you can just reapply with stronger evidence. Administrative delay under 221G doesn't always mean something is wrong. It could just be like a routine check. Just because you get a 221G doesn't mean, you know, that's it. That's the end of the line. This is going to be months before I get this. It could just be a couple of days. You know, it's kind of like getting pulled over, you know, by a cop on the highway. It's like, that doesn't automatically mean you'll get a ticket. You might get a warning. It could be a quick friendly interaction or a long, not so friendly interaction. That's the nature of the discretion I think that the officers have. But it's not always a bad worst case scenario. It's often a routine check. And then finally, you know, even if the case is denied, and as I said before, denial is the worst of the consequences. There's still, you know, that's still worth looking at and seeing like, okay, what happened? Quite often we see situations where someone is denied because of a perceived misrepresentation, but that perceived misrepresation was more perception than it was reality, you know, and you know, we can get into specifics, but really just generally speaking, you know, if somebody makes a representation that is interpreted as being false, but in reality it wasn't, there is a process of going through to remove the hit from that person's, you know, file. But if it was a misrepresentation or the hit is not removable, then there is also the option of applying for a non-immigrant visa waiver. And that's daunting. You know, it can take 6+ months to get a non-immigrant visa waiver after a denial of a visa. But it's not the end of the road. It's a more challenging road, but not the end of the road. So I would say if anyone listening to this is hit with any of these things, I think the first step would be to, you know, reach out to an immigration attorney to try and brainstorm, assess what the problem is, to come up with a focused strategy, because hope isn't all lost. It really depends on the situation.
Gotcha. I mean, yeah, I mean, this is all really great information that you've, you know, given us here today. So thank you for that. And then is there anything in conclusion that you just want to wrap up before we leave here today?
Well, I just want to echo again, seek professional advice whenever you get hit with one of these situations. It can help make a complicated situation as simple as possible. Also, these things are changing a lot. All of the stuff that I'm talking about changes with years and administrations. So I would suggest checking Murthy.com for updates and on any new trends and developments. I imagine in the coming years, there'll be many. For Maggie, this is Kevin. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Maggie. And for Maggie, this is Kevin Andrews, wishing you the great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
This is a free service. The content is the protected, copyrighted property of the Murthy Law Firm. Unauthorized recording or dissemination of these materials without prior permission is prohibited by law. Learn about our firm, how to engage our services, and more at www.murthy.com.